This is Bengals Line.
Let's talk football.
On the First Star Logistics Bengals Radio Network.
Let's talk football.
Presented by Bud Light, live at the Holy Grail. Brought to you by Bud Light, famous among friends. The Holy Grail, Cincinnati's home for sports.
Touchdown, Bengals!
On News Radio 700 WLW, the home of the best Bengals coverage.
And away we go. Hour number three, 8:06 on News Radio 700 WLW. Time flies when you win. This has been fun tonight. Two excellent guests. We say it every week, Dave, but and you know in your experiences around Trey Hopkins, man, what a sharp guy. During the course of a conversation, you find out about his interest in the books, and he's ripping off titles of books, and he's talking about his calling to help people, and he's talking about being a physical therapist down the road. It was just really good stuff beyond football.
Absolutely. I mean, he's talking about he wanted dead set on being anesthesiologist, and then therapist, physical therapist, but occupational, not necessarily sports related. I mean, yeah, he's got it going on. There's no doubt that, it's interesting, Lance, guys come back in town, the first 50 guys, and guys like Ron Carpenter come back into town who had a beer distributorship, sold that for good money, and now is a paper distributor making bigger money. I mean, a lot of these guys have been successful after football. Tommy Casanova, eye surgeon, doing cutting-edge stuff with eye reconstruction for lepers with his dad. State senator, it's incredible. Mike Reed, he comes back, and not only a great football player, two-time Pro Bowl player, but Grammy Award-winning songwriter. Wrote operas. I mean, these guys are just not just football. They've done things with their lives after football that are just unbelievable. I think this kid is going to make an impact somewhere and somehow.
Speaking of Mike Reed, a very emotional return for Mike Reed this weekend, it seemed.
Yeah, it was. I talked to Mike before we on Saturday get together and everybody has a dinner at Paul Brown Stadium. And then season ticket holders, partners of the team. Get to, come in and have dinner, and then we do like a little panel discussion as such. I moderate it and just get guys going and talking about old stories and what they did after football, that sort of thing, for like an hour and a half. And before we get into that, there was a happy hour, and Mike Reed said, I was hesitant about coming back because, that decade was so long ago in my life, and it was half a decade, like 5 years. But he said, I really struggled with, the fact that should I have played longer? And I thought that stunned me because I thought, now you got out of football and went into music and became a huge success, which is even harder to do probably than be a success in football. And his reaction was, maybe I should have played a little bit longer, because he said, when he came back and started hanging around with the guys, all his experiences to the locker room all came flying right back to him, And played one of his songs when he was on with us in the radio on the pregame show. One of his award-winning songs, and he got very emotional, very emotional. I mean, you could see he was like, oh, my gosh. Wow. You guys, I can't believe you guys did this,
And wow.
He's a special guy, there's no doubt. It's been a lot of fun, and there are guys that football is just – it's part of them. It doesn't define them. It's, but it's part of who they are, but it's not a total definition of who they are and what they are.
Ryan, very humble, very soft-spoken, but as you alluded to off-air, you get him out on the football field, and I wouldn't want to mess with him.
All business. All business. He'll eat your face mask off your helmet if he has to, He's gonna fight, scrape, claw, scratch, do whatever he has to do to stay where he needs to stay, and he's a good one. I mean, he's somebody that teammates know that he has their back. There's no question.
Let's hit a couple of programming
notes here. Anheuser-Busch, Bengals Game Plan, which is our Wednesday night show. Join us at Lachey's for Bengals Game Plan this Wednesday, November 1st, on ESPN 1530, presented by Bud Light on the First Star Logistics Bengals Radio Network. Our special guest, punter Kevin Huber, who is having a Pro Bowl-type season. The Cincinnati kid, McNicholas High School, UC, and the Bengals. All his football career spent in the same city. Pretty special. And then on Friday, Buffalo Wings and Rings. Join myself and Wayne Box Miller this week. Dan is traveling with UC for Bengals Pep Rally, presented by Miller Lite. live at Buffalo Wings and Rings at the Kings Mills location. We'll be there from 2:30 to 5:30. Programming note, 2:30 to 5:30. Basketball makes that a little out early for us, half an hour early, 2:30 to 5:30. Josh Malone, he of his first career touchdown reception, will be joining us the final hour from 4:30 to 5:30. At Buffalo Wings and Rings.
Let's work through yesterday and look ahead to Jacksonville. Let's start defensively. And when it came to closing time, they come up huge. The third and seven with about 5.5 to go. Carl with the big sack with 2 minutes to go. The fourth and four pressure from Chris Smith when it needed to get done. And even in the fourth quarter, I counted they held Brissett was just 4 of 10 passing in the fourth quarter for 36 yards. There was the pick six. There was the two sacks. They got it done when they had to get it done yesterday.
They did. You know, Paul Gunther's always talking about, I got to have to have closers, you know, sacks on third down, making plays in the fourth quarter to decide football games. They stood up when they needed to and made plays to decide the outcome of the football game. Now, in my mind, it was disappointing offensively because, you know, gave up three quarterback sacks again in the fourth quarter. A couple of those on third down, again, you know, getting yourself in third in difficult situations in terms of length of conversion. You get the ball back with about 4 minutes to go in the game, and you can't close the game out. You put the defense back out on the field again. I mean, Carlos Dunlap made that play with like 7 minutes to go in the game, 7:02, and by the time he was done with the play, it was like 6:56 when the Colts get the ball back. They had two more possessions. After that defensive play, the Bengals couldn't, you know, 4 minutes to go.
Yep.
They get a first down on a first down play and then punt the ball back. And, you know, it's like, come on. You know, let's play complimentary football. The defense gave it an unconventional score and gave you the lead. Let's just close the game out and could not get it done against a defense that had not been stellar, you know, most of the season, obviously up to that point. So hopefully the Bengals, you know, even though they had a stinker, you know, they laid a dinosaur egg as such. They won the game. So going down to Jacksonville, you better put on your big boy pads because these guys are serious. They mean business. They're number one in the NFL running the football in yards per game, over 167, averaging 5 yards a play. So, you know, yards per rush and rushing yards per game. And they're number one against the pass defensively. And they've got more quarterback sacks than anybody. I mean, these guys are no joke. And if you play on the road like you did here against Indianapolis, ain't going to be a contest. You got to go out and play a heck of a lot better.
You mentioned to Ryan how well they've played defensively on third down. You mentioned the sudden change. I went back and counted today of the 14 turnovers by the Bengals offense, forcing the defense onto the field. The defense has allowed just 6 field goals, 2 touchdowns, and 6 punts forced in those 14 situations. That's pretty damn good.
That's good sudden change. That's what we were talking about, Lance, exactly. And one of the touchdowns was this past game. And Paul Gunther was lamenting that a little bit today as he was addressing the media. But overall, they've been phenomenal on short fields and in the red zone. Number one in the NFL right now, allowing a touchdown only a third of the time. 24 red zone opportunities given to the opposition, allowing only 8 touchdowns. That's pretty strong.
I noticed today Ryan has played, according to Pro Football Focus, Ryan has played 157 snaps to Andrew Billings, 59. Is that, and Andrew is 21st defensively in snaps taken on this defense. Is that Ryan Glasgow just playing better than Andrew Billings and taking snaps from him?
Absolutely. You know, Andrew, I think since the knee injury, Andrew's issue in my mind is balance sideways. I mean, if he's straight ahead, you know, he's a load. But when you have to move laterally, I think that knee injury, I'm not saying it took it away from him, but I think he's still in the process of getting his legs back under him as such. When he gets, if he's doing a twist and he gets a little bit off kilter, he gets washed. Whereas, you know, Ryan can still, you know, take it up the football field and stay in a lane. I noticed that was the biggest thing I noticed with Billings when he was trying to get move, when he was trying to move laterally, if somebody engaged him, they really washed him a good distance out of that lane. So I think it's a strength, balance, all those things, and that's those are things that Ryan Glasgow has in flashes.
Pro Football Focus noted in their elite stats they sent out last night that William Jackson III, since the bye week, has been the NFL's third most efficient corner on a per-snap basis. He allows one reception every 49 snaps. What do you like about him, and could the argument be made for him to see more snaps than he's getting of the group he played just 20? I think he played 24. He played the fewest of the group yesterday.
And when he was in the game, he was on Hilton a good bit,
yep.
You know. And, to me, he has all the qualities that, you know, an elite NFL cornerback need to have. He's got good enough size. He's got long arms. And he's got closing speed. He's got recoverability speed. He's got confidence. You know, every once in a while he'll bite on the double move, but he feels so confident that he's going to be able to recover and close on the football before it can do any damage. And he's shown that he can do it. He's shown he's done it. So, yeah, I think his future is extremely bright. But, again, you got first-round cornerbacks galore. And Paul Gunther felt very comfortable putting eight in the box to try to stop Frank Gore and play man, you know, with his perimeter guys.
Yeah.
And felt like, you know, I have no issue with that. Let's go get that done. With eight in the box, though, trying to stop Frank Gore, that sucker still rushed. 16 carries, 82 yards, over 5 yards a pop. His longest run was 15 yards. He'd go 15, but then he goes 6, 5. 8. I mean, just, man, put you in the meat grinder. Ryan, we were talking during the break. He goes, man, I hit him once for yard loss on 3rd and 1. I hit him behind the line of scrimmage and hit him with what I have. And I'm thinking I'm going to have a negative play. He drags me for 3. He said, first down. He said, you know, this. He said, just put me on his back, literally, and drag me. That guy has some lower body strength that is amazing. And he's 34 years old and still has rubber on the tire big time.
More to get to. Dave Lapham, Lance McAllister, Bengals Line presented by Bud Light. We're at the Holy Grail Banks on News Radio 700 WLW. 8:22, News Radio 700 WLW, Bengals Line. We're at the Holy Grail Banks. We roll till 9, and then Monday Night Football plays here. We've got the Broncos and Chiefs here on News Radio 700 WLW.
And Lance, are you or someone you know active in the community just like you, Lance McAllister? Kroger and P&G are teaming up to bring a community champion to each Bengals home game. We want to hear your story. To send in a story, email communitychampion@bengals.nfl.net. And let's get social for the latest Bengals news, updates, photos, and exclusive video. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
We have a couple of developing situations trade-wise as
yes.
We approach tomorrow's trade deadline. Adam Schefter of ESPN and now multiple outlets reporting the Patriots are sending quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo to the San Francisco 49ers for a second-round pick. What do you think?
I think Bill Belichick feels like that second-round pick is going to be a first-rounder, like a late first, because San Francisco didn't ever win. And let's face it, they'll probably have, you know, second, maybe worst-case scenario, the third pick in the second round. Belichick hates first-round picks. He always trades out of the first round into the second round to pick up additional choices anyway. So here he is at the very top of the second round again, just where the Patriots want to be. It's not, you know, just your garden variety second-round pick. Potentially a very high second-round pick. So he said, we like Jimmy Garoppolo. We drafted him high, but we're getting more, a higher pick than we spent on Jimmy Garoppolo. And let him start his career as a starter in the National Football League with Shanahan out there in San Francisco.
And the Houston Texans reportedly are dealing Dwayne Brown,
yes,
left tackle to Seattle in exchange for corner Jeremy Lane.
And supposedly Dwayne Brown wanted to go to Seattle the whole time. That's where he wanted to play. And ends the holdout, goes to Seattle, and plays in that shootout that they had. The Texans losing a battle royale to Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks up there. I mean, lead changed a million times in the fourth quarter of that football game. So obviously the Seahawks looked at Dwayne Brown and said, yeah, man, he looks like he can play. Blocked our defense pretty well, and they trade for him.
Do you anticipate any activity with the Bengals as the trade deadline approaches?
Negatory. I do not. I don't think so. I'd be surprised because, you know, usually in most cases, trades involve malcontents. In other cases, people are trying to dump cap dollars.
Yep.
So Bengals aren't in the market for either of those necessarily, I don't think. I wouldn't be stunned, but I'd be surprised if anything happened in Bengal land.
All right, the $64,000 question that everybody's waiting for. How would you assess the offensive line play as a whole yesterday? It seemed like they took a step back. Did they take a step back?
Yeah, it certainly wasn't good enough. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, Andy said it after the game. I asked Andy at the conclusion, the last question at the press conference after the game that he does, I said, you know, there were a lot of free runners at you from all areas of the football field. Was it something that they were doing, or was it something that you were doing to hurt yourself in terms of, you know, lack of identification, communication, et cetera? And he wasn't obviously going to address that in that environment. But it was the Indianapolis Colts gave them blitz packages they had not shown and blitzed a high, high percentage of the time early in the football game, which they had not done. With that said, you have to make adjustments to it. You can't let it be as big a factor as it probably was for as long as it probably was. At this stage of the season, you've had OTAs, you've had training camp, you've had practices for basically half the season. You have to have rules to handle things that are going to happen during the course of the game that you might not cover during the week. You have to have basic principle rules. So if things like this happen, you have to identify what they're doing and have rules to take care of it. And I think they had problems in both areas. I think they had misidentifications. I think they made incorrect calls in some cases, which led to not just a safety blitzing late from the deep secondary, a linebacker, a nickel defensive end coming at the quarterback untouched. Can't have it. Particularly when there's nothing, if a defensive end, a nickel defensive end is coming off the edge and they haven't blitzed linebackers and safeties inside, that's inexcusable. Because like we were talking about with Trey, you always try to block from the inside out. Every rule book that I had as an offensive lineman was you take the closest guy to the center away first and work your way out that way. If you have to, everybody has to block down to do it, so be it. And then if the back has to take the end guy in the line of scrimmage, so be it, whatever the case. Make sure you make it secure for the quarterback so if he gets a shotgun snap or he takes a three-step drop and turns, nobody's in his face right away. Well, that wasn't happening. I mean, Andy got a lot of pressure up the middle.
Yep.
And some free runners on him. And honestly, I mean, at this stage, when I see Andy Dalton in his locker after the game, looks like he's been in a fight. I mean, he's got marks on him. He's taking hits. He's got marks on him. When he had good years, he wasn't marked up. You know, sometimes he was barely hit. And he's getting beaten up. He's getting marked up. So you better start protecting him. And the thing is, I don't care how courageous you are. And in my opinion, he played as courageous a game yesterday as he's played. Because under the conditions that he played in, he had a quarterback rating 108.8. Completed, you know, decent percentage, 243 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. One play that sticks out in my mind, you know, people would say over the years, oh, the quarterback has happy feet. He has happy feet because he's getting his butt handed to him. I mean, if you stand, you can't stand in the pocket and be like a robot, no feelings or no sensation of pain or whatever, and just stand there like a punching bag. So at some point in time, it's going to start to affect him. He's a human being. I'm not saying he's gun shy, but I'm saying he's taken too many hits. And the one play, the example of it, he takes a 5-step drop, and they run a little route where AJ goes to the middle of the field, and then he goes back to the corner. And he is open. He's got a safety on him, a safety only. And it's like, it doesn't get any better than that. That's as good as you're going to get with AJ Green. One-on-one with a safety. Get the ball down the field to him. I think he saw it, but he felt like he couldn't pull the trigger on it. And then he gets out. He has Joe Mixon about a five-yard area for a check down, gets out of pocket, doesn't go either place with the football, runs out of bounds, then throws it away. Because I think that he realized, ah, damn, I missed AJ. You know, I'm in trouble. And I think he just, like, was flustered because the pressure started to get to him, the hits, all that stuff. Andy Dalton, in a normal rhythm of I feel good, nobody's beating the crap out of me, on that fifth step of the five-step drop, when he saw A.J. Green bending back out against the safety to the corner, he would have thrown that sucker to him. So now you have a ripple effect of, you know, that you don't necessarily see, you know, right away as you're watching the game. Why did Andy do that? Why did Andy react that way? Well, you can't just take one play and say, oh, he stunk that game. Look at all the stuff that's happened to him during the course of the game. And that's a concern. I mean, when a quarterback as good as him and sees the field as well as he does, doesn't make that throw because he's feeling like, is it coming? Where is it? That's bad. You got to start protecting your quarterback.
8:31, much more to get to, including a look at the Jaguars. Dave Lapham, Lance McAllister, Bengals Line, presented by Bud Light. We're at the Holy Grail Banks on News Radio 700 WLW. 8:36, News Radio 700 WLW, Bengals Line, presented by Bud Light. We're at the Holy Grail Banks. Lance McAllister, Dave Lapham, Bengals, Jaguars this weekend. All right, if we assume there's no magic bullet or magic acquisition being added to this offensive line, and it is what it is, beyond individual improvement this week, scheme-wise, what does Bill Lazor have to do with this offensive line in terms of scheming in and around it to help it?
I think pretty much what Indianapolis did was they basically ran the football, and the Bengals haven't been able to do that yet, but they got to at least make Jacksonville respect the fact that they're going to try to run the football. Indianapolis max protected quite a bit, and they, I think, had a big-time focus on Jacoby Brissett getting the ball out of his hand quicker. Brissett holds the ball. Andy's pretty good about not holding the football, but I think all those things are things that you have to consider. I think you do have to max protect, keep a tight end and running back in, and, you know, play action is max protection. If you have a modicum of a running game that they have to respect, and you can take some people out of throwing lanes that way, if they put it in Mixon or whoever's belly and the linebackers say, boy, I better step toward the line of scrimmage, he might have it. And then, you know, I think get it out of his hand. If Andy Dalton holds the ball for more than 2.2 seconds, he's probably in jeopardy. They're pretty good. They're that good. So the other thing, Lance, too, is I guess as a former lineman, when you have identification, misidentifications, and have trouble communicating up and down the line at home, well, you're not dealing with crowd noise. You don't have issues like that. Now you're going on the road three straight games to the number one pass rush team in the league. And if you're having identification issues and communication issues, wow, that's not a good place to be.
No.
Jacksonville, Tennessee, and then Denver.
Oh, good luck.
In that loud place with Von Miller and company? Come on now. You know, you're going to have to get a lot of that stuff sorted out and figured out and taken care of. Because I've been in those meetings before, and guys were like, oh, I didn't hear that call. Or I thought it was a three-man, not a four-man rush. You know, I didn't get the call. Well, you know, you can't have excuses. You can't have mistakes. You just have to, you know, everybody has to man up and focus and make sure that everybody's on the same page. If you can't hear, you better know. Everybody better be in their playbook enough to be able to identify and communicate on their own so everybody's on the same page and you can deal with the unspoken word if you have to. Everybody has to know.
Pro Football Focus had Fisher at 49 snaps, Sett at 48, and Andre at only 24. What do you make of that?
Andre hasn't played very well in the last couple of games, for whatever reason. yesterday in particular. I didn't think he played well at all. So I don't know what it is. I don't know if he feels like, you know, I thought I made a statement. I thought I made a run to try to, you know, work myself into a different situation, and it hasn't. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. But I do know that he probably graded out. He and Fisher were – oh, boy, he had some big-time, like, oh, my God, plays like they all did. But overall, his – I'm not saying it was good, but it was okay. Really, like I said, the one that watching the tape that I thought was the most consistent was our guest tonight, big old number 66. I thought he played, you know, again, was it like, wow, that's it. He just was okay,
right,
you know.
Right.
I mean, he was the highest of the okays. There was nobody that was like, wow, that's winning football. That's really getting it done. There was none of that. There wasn't any of that going on.
What do you make of John Ross getting six snaps? Is it a redshirt year ultimately? Because I don't understand what the deal is with John Ross.
Yeah, I think that you know, they just need to see him practice more. I think they feel like he's in the early stages of training camp and everybody else is at midseason. You know, I just think mentally, physically, every way you can be, because, you know, there's shape and then there's football shape, and he hasn't been doing enough football to be in the football shape that, you know, everybody else is in that's played a lot of snaps into the midseason. I don't think they feel like mentally they can't trust him. I'm not sure about that, though. But honestly, other guys have gotten opportunities, and Malone, you know, stepped up when he got his chance. Other guys have made plays, and other guys, when you're like Marvin said, I'm going to activate the best 46 out of the 53. That's special team snaps as well. If you're the fifth receiver of those five guys, you better be doing a lot of special teams things, and he's not. He's not a big guy. Core and Malone can be gunner. They can play all the special teams. So in terms of total number of snaps to affect a game, they're higher on the totem pole than he is right now until he shows that he's exactly where he has to be physically and mentally to be included in a rotation of just wide receiver play. Because until he shows that, their special team snaps are going to, like, outdo him.
Tyler Kroft yesterday, six more targets, five more catches, and I know they're not deep throws downfield, but he and Andy have connected 27 targets, 23 catches. That's 82.5% of the time Andy's targeted him. Tyler Kroft's been there to catch the football.
It's best in the league. At the tight end
position. Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow, I wondered about that.
82% of the targets for catches is the best in the league at the tight end position.
Wow.
So, I mean, he's starting to he's really starting to show up and you know, finalizing and taking advantage of every opportunity that Andy's getting him. And Andy, it's – you know, anybody would do it. If you see results when you go there, you go back.
Yeah.
And you go back again. And I think that that confidence level and trust is really building.
More on Jacksonville to get to as we continue. Dave Lapham, Lance McAllister, Bengals Line, presented by Bud Light, Holy Grail Banks, First Star Logistics, Bengals Radio Network, and News Radio 700 WLW. 8:46, News Radio 700 WLW, the First Star Logistics Bengals Radio Network. Heading down the stretch, Dave Lapham, Lance McAllister. Football follows us. Monday Night Football, the Broncos and the Chiefs. I hesitate to ask, do I want to know the plus and negative numbers on the run game yesterday? Did you figure that out?
I did that, Lance.
Yeah,
six pluses, 13 minuses.
Oh,
4 yards or more. I mean, when you take Alex Erickson's gadget play and Andy Dalton's 12-yard scramble out of that, that's 26 of the 58 yards rushing right there. I mean, I worked it out where 36 yards on 19 carries because I took the two kneel downs out of the mix, and I took their two, the gadget and the scramble off of there. So now it's down to 19 because you would have added the
yep.
those two scrambles. 19 to 36 yards, 1.8. I mean, you know, you're not even hitting 2 yards a carry.
Mm.
So, to me,
wow.
the fact that Bill Lazor called 21 runs and 29 passes is pretty damn balanced based on the fact that, you know, it was a seesaw game, not getting much out of the running game. He wants to call the running game. He does. I mean, his mentality is, I want to be a balanced offense. He's basically craving it, but nobody's making it pay off for him.
The numbers on Jacksonville, we started in on them, but it jumps out to me. We've talked before about sacks, recorded sacks given up. Well, the Bengals are even, 22
right.
sacks, 22 allowed.
Right.
Jacksonville is plus 22.
Yes.
They've recorded 33 sacks. They've only allowed 11.
Yep. They're 33 sacks, obviously best in the league. They're 11 allowed, tied for sixth fewest in the league. They're number 10 sack per play offensively, number 1 sack per play defensively,
Ooh.
And the best ratio in the league at plus 22. I mean, their turnovers, they're plus 8. They've only got 8 giveaways, second fewest in the league, 16 takeaways, tied for 7th in the league.
And 6 of those are fumble recoveries. They recover fumbles with
yep.
the elusive
they're tied,
stat for the Bengals.
Tied for 4th in that area. They've caused 11 fumbles, tied for 7th. They've only allowed 4 touchdowns passing. Number 1 in the NFL. They're allowing 5.68 yards per pass attempt, best in the NFL. The opposing quarterback rating is 62.3 because they've allowed 4 touchdowns and have 10 interceptions.
And that is the best, 62.3 is the best quarterback rating against of any team in the NFL.
And I would think that the plus 6 for 4 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, that plus 6 ratio is if it's not the best, it's got to be right up there. So, I mean, they are legit. I mean, the real deal. If you can't run the football and you're facing second and third and long all day against this football team, not pretty. Not pretty. You got to figure out a way to be able to run the football. Or if you're going to throw it, you know, you're going to have to come up with a creative screen package. You know, you get 67 yards passing out of that screen to Joe Mixon. They get 61 yards passing out of a screen in Cleveland to Giovanni Bernard. That was a house call, went the distance. You know, you can't live on the screen game, that's for sure. You can't live on a horizontal passing game. But the screen game, the quick game, it's got to be Bill Lazor's substitute for no running game. It's an extension of the running game. It's like he's going to have to look at it like long laterals
yeah.
and, you know, and wide handoffs and because – You can't make a steady diet of just dropping back and trying to throw the football down the football field against the Jacksonville Jaguars. That will. The other thing you're probably going to have to do some with Andy, and hopefully he's healthy enough to do it, is change the launch point. Get him out of pocket, you know, by design. Not because he's running for his
yeah.
life, but by design. You know, change bootlegs, nakeds, all those kind of things. And, you know, at least make the defensive lineman, instead of just burrowing into that same spot time after time, change the aiming point. Make them at least think about that, if nothing else.
I also noticed Jacksonville is quick out of the gate. They've scored more first quarter points than any team in the NFL. They've scored 51.
Yep.
Bengals have scored just 24 in the first quarter this year. I think Jacksonville has trailed at the end of the first quarter just once in their first 7 games, but they get at it right out of the chute. They run well in the first quarter. They kind of get off and running with Fournette. They load up. Let him carry and establish things right out of the chute.
They're a first-half team. They've outscored people by 21 points in the first quarter, 29 in the second quarter. And the thing that really struck me as I looked at their quarter-by-quarter scoring, balanced. Scored 51 in the first quarter, 45 in the second, 44 in the third, 43 in the
wow.
fourth.
Wow.
I mean, that is balanced.
Yeah.
You know, in other teams score like 80 in the fourth quarter or 78 in the second quarter. They have like a quarter where it's like, wow, they really put it together.
Mm-hmm.
This football team, every single quarter is being consistently productive and putting points on the board. So, I mean, they're well put together. This team is, I'm telling you, when you look at their roster, Lance, you know, I'm looking at by free agency and draft, I mean, they get – Malik Jackson, they got for the Denver Broncos in free agency. Campbell from the Arizona Cardinals, two great football players. They've both been in the Pro Bowl. And they got Miles Jack, you know, the linebacker. And they got him because, you know, they were patient and took him. He was injured, and they were patient about it. They had Jalen Ramsey, Tashawn Gibson in free agency. They drafted Ramsey and A.J. Bouye in free agency. Three of their four guys in the second, and Barry Church, another guy from Dallas. They rebuilt their secondary by free agency, and, you know, defensively they have a lot of free agents in there with some draft picks. Offensively, they've done more drafting. Fournette, Cam Robinson, you know, Mercedes Lewis has been there forever. Blake Bortles they drafted, you know, both their receivers that they drafted. Defensively, though, they've gone and raided other teams' players and spent some money on that defense. And this football team's put together very well. I tell you, Tom Coughlin's influence has been immediately felt and seen down there. And this you know, it's, a lot of people say you can't go home again. Of course, he was the guy that took over Jacksonville when the franchise was founded and took him to the playoffs more than once. And then he wins two Super Bowls in New York, and he goes back home to Jacksonville where it all started, and he's going to try to get him into the playoffs again, and he's got him going in the right direction. That arrow is pointing in the right direction.
By the way, follow-up note on the Jimmy Garoppolo trade. The 49ers have released Brian Hoyer, and it looks like the Patriots are then going to pick up Hoyer to be the backup to Tom Brady after all that is said. We'll take it. You release him. We'll take him and put him as your backup.
And Hoyer has been with the Patriots before. Brian Hoyer and Tom Brady are buddies. They work well together. It's a good quarterback room. So they got their a higher second-round pick than they invested and get a quarterback that they feel if Brady goes down, he can, you know, capably fill in. He knows their system. He's been there before. I'm telling you, Patriots do it about as well as anybody.
Yep, no question. Down the stretch, put the wraps on it next. From the Holy Grail Banks Bengals line, presented by Bud Light, News Radio 700 WLW. Final 2 minutes. Two-minute drill from the Holy Grail Banks, and then it's Monday Night Football. We'll pick up the Chiefs and the Broncos here on News Radio 700 WLW, where the Chiefs have already jumped out to a 7-0 lead early. Did I see you reach for a card? Do we have all the cards?
Yeah,
I think
we're good on that. Right. Denver Broncos, the Bengals have forced 3 fumbles, recovered none. Denver's forced 1 and recovered none.
Ooh.
They're the only team in the NFL that has forced fewer fumbles than the Bengals, and they're tied with 0 recoveries.
The special teams were certainly a mixed bag yesterday, but I do want to mention our guy Jordan Willis. How about the bull rush right up the middle yesterday on special teams? Gets his paw on it in the first block since Taylor Mays 3 years ago.
Yeah, and just good schematic done by our guy, Darren Simmons. I mean, he knew it cold. I was talking to Willis about it today, and he said, you know, he knew he was going to be on Matthias Farley, the safety, as a personal protector. They knew that the center was going to block away and the A-gap between the center and the guard. There comes Jordan Willis on a free run right at Matthias Farley and just walked him 7 yards back to the punter. I mean, you got to buy a token when you take a ride like that. And Willis got that big paw on it, and it was a great play.
Kansas City has scored again and quickly on top 14-0.
Kelsey.
First quarter, the former UC Bearcat, Travis Kelsey,
yes,
with the catch and the dance.
Nice little dance. Yeah.
There you go.
Wow.
I'm trying to think now in the final minute, any significant injuries to monitor this week?
Drake Kirkpatrick's shoulder obviously
one. He was all over the place in the first quarter yesterday.
He was. I mean, you know, he had a sack. He had 3 tackles for loss. I mean, he covered well. No, I thought they all covered pretty well. I'm trying to think who else had an injury. Well, of course, Trey with the knee. Yeah. He didn't finish the game, but it looks like he's going to be okay. Minner's got the elbow. He won't. I don't think he'll be going in. Obviously, Vontaze Burfict played middle linebacker. He slid to middle linebacker for the entire game. He plays middle linebacker in the nickel, but he played middle linebacker with Minter out of the game, and you know they're. I thought it went pretty well, and I don't think Minter's going to be back for a while, so I think we're going to see Vontaze Burfict playing a little bit more middle linebacker.
All right, we are out of time. Monday Night Football is next. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. We'll do it again next Monday night. Bengals line from the Holy Grail Banks on the home of the best Bengals coverage, News Radio 700 WLW.